morning, good afternoon, good evening, depending on when you're listening to this podcast. This is the Unsafe Space, episode 10. Today we are talking about feminism. Feminism is in the news again today because Liz Truss, who's a cabinet minister in the UK, had an interview during the week, and she said that she wasn't a feminist, and she didn't believe really in the tenets of so-called third wave feminism because she didn't want to be treated any differently because she was a woman. She didn't want to be given a job because she has boobs, as she said. She doesn't believe that we're heading in the right direction on this issue. And then it made me kind of reflect on my own moment when I was battling this conversation. What is feminism today? And I was famously put on the front page of the Irish Examiner for saying that I wasn't in favor of feminazis, and people jumped down my throat and said, oh my God, he hates women, he's called them all feminazis, when really what I should have done was taken that opportunity actually to have this conversation about what is third wave feminism, what is feminism today compared to feminism yesterday, and all this stuff. So today hopefully we're going to try and to tease that out. And I suppose we should start off. Yeah, we can start off with my own conversation on what it was all about. So basically, you'll have seen lots of politicians come out, lots of celebrities come out wearing T-shirts and hats saying, you know, this is what a feminist looks like. And, you know, trying to push the idea that, you know, feminism is what we should all be aspiring to. And men and women should all be feminists and stuff. And yet there's a natural pushback, isn't there? I mean, a lot of people don't like being described as feminists. And a lot of people equate feminism today with anti-man. And, you know, feminists will say, no, we're not anti-man. We're just, you know. But there is definitely a pushback, and there's a natural kind of pushback that they try to counteract. And it doesn't seem to be kind of clicking for them. And I suppose really what it comes down to is, if somebody said to me, are you a feminist? I would say, well, I'm a feminist in what it used to mean. It used to mean treating men and women equally. It used to mean the best person for the job. It used to mean, you know, not treating somebody better than others because they're one gender and not another. That was kind of so-called second wave feminism. But now third wave feminism has kind of reintroduced sexism. So we now have a thing where it's not the best person for the job, it's the best woman for the job and the best man for the job, and each person needs to be given a job equally. It's, again, we're back to our old friend of equality of outcome rather than equality of opportunity. It's about looking at a panel of people going for a job and, instead of being gender blind, being gender omni-aware and making sure that everything is balanced, and, you know, not choosing the best person for the job, but choosing a person on the basis of their gender, and therefore treating one person better because of their gender. So we've actually reintroduced sexism in third wave feminism. And that's that was the issue that I was referring to when I was talking about feminazis, because they're distinct, I think, from feminists. I think I'm a very happy to be described as a second wave feminist. I definitely am. I think everybody should be treated equally. You should not be treating anybody differently because of their gender. But I'm not a feminist. I'm not a third wave feminist. I'm not a feminist of today. I think those guys are feminazis because they're authoritarians. They are deciding that they want to impose their will on everybody else, and they do want to discriminate against one person over another on the basis of their gender. So that's kind of where I stand on today's feminism. And I'm delighted to see some pushback from somebody like Liz Truss, who, to me, being a cabinet minister and, of course, being a woman, she's in a better position to do this. But it's great to see somebody in her position pushing back against this this narrative, because I don't think it sits neatly with people. I really don't think it sits comfortably with people. People who grew up in second wave feminist era, where we were all told that we shouldn't be discriminating, now we're being told we should be discriminating, and I think it rankles with us. But Sarah, of course, being 10 years younger than I am, didn't maybe grow up in second wave feminism. Maybe you are a third wave feminist. Tell me what you think of feminism, Sarah.
Thanks for mansplaining the podcast to us.
Mansplaining.
Yeah. I don't really think that I'm any kind of feminist, to be honest. I think it's all trendy T-shirts and nonsense. And I am kind of like what Liz Truss said. Like, I think that, I think I've said this before, like, I'll take my chances for any job against any man. Like, that's fine. And I'll win some and I'll lose some. And that's the way it goes. But I didn't really realise that I was such a victim until about 3 years ago, where it started being hip and trendy to think so. I think that the current narrative around feminism and equality for women undermines women. It definitely in politics, like, there's, you know, I would say that in the longer term, it's going to be harder to validate yourself when you've only been put there because they needed a certain amount of women. I don't think that serves women. I think women have talents that are better than men in some areas and worse than men. You know, like I see a lot of, you know, push for towards more women in politics, and that's great. Don't see a lot of push towards more women in mining. But you know, that's like, because there's a different like physicality, and I do believe, you know, like that people can be whatever they want to be, and people, we shouldn't discriminate against people based on gender. But I think that there's certain things that women are better than and certain things that men are better than. Some are physical, some are whatever. Like, I think women can be more, tend, there are exceptions, but tend to be more intuitive about people, tend to be more fiscally conservative when it comes, or less more risk averse than men. And like, this is just my observation based on things that I've seen. Obviously there are exceptions to everything, but I'm just saying, more often than not, I would have noticed in financial services, women tended to be more risk averse than men. That's just what I noticed. It doesn't matter if it's true or not. The point is that I think that this like feminism thing and everything that happens to you is because you're a woman and you're a victim and you're this and you're that. To be honest, I think that like women, you know, I think that we should all just be like, okay, like women and men are equal now. Get on with it. It's just very whiny and moany and like, you know, and it, you know, it's all about choice and women's choice until you actually do something that doesn't suit the narrative. Like if you want to stay at home and raise your kids, you're a disappointment. If you want to, you know, like have 10 kids and never work again, that's not good. And you know, you should do this and you should do that and you should have it all, but you can't have it all because you're a victim. And it's all just very whiny and moany. And like most of the women I know that are, I'm friendly with, like they work, they have kids, they take some of them take time off to have their kids, some of them take more than others, some don't really take much at all, and there's a big huge like variety in that. And most of the women I know who aren't on the TV, who aren't on Twitter, who aren't whinging and moaning on different things, they're just getting on with it. Like, they don't think that they're, you know, victims. Like, most of the women I know, like, especially, like, when I was growing up and a lot of my friends came from the inner city, like, women ruled the roost. Women managed the homes. Women managed the money. Women were the, like, the matriarchs of family was the person you needed to get things by if you wanted anything done in families. So I just never really knew there was a problem. We had, in my lifetime, we had female presidents. Like, you know, like, it just wasn't like there was women in politics. Was there enough women in politics? Probably not. But you know what? Politics is also a shit life that a lot of women don't want to do.
Mm. But also the women who did go into politics, who, you know, hit the top. I mean, you know, they don't seem to. I mean, for example, Margaret Thatcher in the UK, the first female prime minister.
But she doesn't
suit
the narrative.
She's never celebrated by feminists. She's never celebrated by those who want more women in politics. Mary Harney, the first female Taoiseach.
Yeah, you know, Mary Hanafin.
Mary Hanafin and
Mary Coughlin.
You know, they're all cabinet ministers. They're all like, obviously Margaret Thatcher, prime minister. You know. But yet, they're not celebrated by those.
Because they don't have every single view that's right. Do you know what I mean? So, like, they don't suit the agenda. They don't suit the narrative. So, I see a lot of still talking about Mary Robinson. But lots of women in Irish politics have come since Mary Robinson. And they don't suit the narrative. They might be pro-life. They might be something else. So, they're just forgotten about. Anyway, women in politics. More women in politics. Great. Fine, whatever.
But it used to be that, you know, as I said, when I was kind of growing up, the idea of this second wave feminism thing was that, you know, everybody was equal. Men and women were equal. Men and women could, a woman can do just as much as a man could do, you know, could be whatever a man could be. Blah, blah. And then we've moved on to women are actually better than, and you said it yourself there, women are more fiscally prudent than men, or, you know, this kind of stuff.
But
this narrative is creeping in, which I think is kind of
No, but
the
that's not, okay, but men are better at things than women. Like, men are less emotional. More often than not, like, you know, like they can be much more like, you know, lots of things who's better than whatever. I'm just saying that there are in countries where they've implemented gender quotas and whatever, it's like it has the data shows that women tend towards certain fields and men tend towards certain fields.
In Scandinavia, where they have maximum kind of equality between the genders as a result of all their social programs. This is what you're talking about. Absolutely right, yeah.
So what I'm saying is that women tend to be better, or for want of a better word, lean towards some things, and men lean towards others. So what? Like, so what? If I'm a woman and I want to be a nurse, great. If I'm a man and I want to be a nurse, great. Like, who cares? Just get on with it.
But you see, this is the point. A lot of people now are caring. You know, a lot of people are caring about they want a quality of outcome of numbers. So it doesn't really matter about quality. They want numbers. So they'd be perfectly happy to have half of the men in a cabinet, half women in a cabinet, without looking at the ideology of the people, the competencies of the people. I would rather have 90% women in a cabinet if I agreed with them politically, if I agreed with their politics. That's what politics is supposed to be about. I mean, the idea that, you know, I mean, I've heard it described, a man can't represent female constituents. He just doesn't understand.
Oh, for God's sake.
But does that
sake.
Mean a woman can't represent male constituents?
No, I mean, no.
No, this kind of, this nonsense that's out there, that this poisoning of the narrative. Really, I come back to my virulent individualism, my belief in the individual. And I think that men and women can, you know, can equally be good, can equally be bad. They can be, you know, you can find evil men and evil women. You can find competent men and competent women, incompetent men, incompetent women. Like, I think once you move away from the individual and you start ascribing, you know, groups with, you know, traits, I think that's when you're on a slippery slope. Because I don't think, you know, all straight people this, all gay people that, all white people this, all black people that, all women this, all. Once you start doing that, you fall into this identitarian kind of identity politics nonsense. And, you know, you're just fodder for them then.
Yeah, I think the world's gone mad with virtue signaling itself into a knot, basically. And I think that women, like, you know, in the past, fine, whatever, I vehemently oppose gender quotas. And gender quotas, if we're going to impose gender quotas, we should impose gender quotas both ways. There's not a lot of male nurses, so let's impose a gender quota on that. We'll put a lot of women out of jobs. Like, it doesn't make sense. People lean towards things. People want, everybody should have equal opportunity to do whatever they want.
Well, that's what it's about.
But when you start forcing people to do things or whatever, it's nonsense. It hasn't worked in other countries and it's not going to work here. And Liz Truss is right. Like, it's just, it's gone a bit mad. I think that there's, like, you see these things like, oh, if there's been more women around the cabinet tables, yeah, there wouldn't have been a crash. Get a grip.
There were three women around the cabinet.
Exactly. Table. But even if there was all women, like, this kind of, like, I definitely think that genders have, like, things that they are more likely to be better at. But that doesn't mean anything. Like, do you know what I mean? There's exceptions to every rule. And ramming unqualified people into jobs, whether they're men into traditionally women jobs or vice versa, does nothing for the cause. So if you, like, push to have a load of women pushed into positions that they're actually not qualified for, haven't done the hard yards to get, they won't be qualified, they'll be not good, and they undermine women even further, or men or whatever. So I'm just bored of the whining, to be honest.
Yeah, and it's like, this is where it comes back to my use of the word feminazi, you know.
But you're not really telling that, like,
it's banning,
you're not really
and mandating.
But you're not really telling, like, the story. The story was that you wrote a tweet about, so it was about the fact that Page Three, it was at the Sun or one of those. And
yeah, I can't remember. I don't think it was the Sun, no, because obviously the Sun have Page Three in it. But it was a campaign that was being run against the Sun. Yeah, that they wanted to ban Page Three.
But it was successful.
Three.
So they wanted to ban Page Three somewhere and they got...
It turned out they were going to be, but then they weren't
right,
in the end.
But anyway, so you wrote a tweet in response to that was like, well done, feminazis, you just whatever.
Well, actually, what happened was Pam Fox and Linda Lusardi, two famous Page Three girls from the 80s who ended up being millionaires as a result of it, they wrote an article against this narrative saying, you know, the well-meaning middle-class kind of feminists who are pushing for this are not the people who are going to suffer from it. It's the working-class girls who end up doing Page Three, who end up very wealthy and prefer to do that job rather than working, for example, on a cash register in a supermarket. They prefer that job. So they were saying they're not asking these women what they want. They're not being pro-choice when it comes to their choice.
No, because they're so sure that this comes back to the same thing again. You don't know. We know best what's
know
best
better.
For
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
We know what's best for you. And the thing is that if you are, like, come from a very deprived, like, background or whatever, and you want to, like, earn 30 grand to get your boobs out, and they're like, I thought we were all about choice.
Well, this is it. And it's about, like, kind of, you know, your agency and, you know, bodily autonomy and all that stuff and pro-choice. They're all pro-choice until they make the wrong choice. And that's effectively what they were saying to these women. You know, you're making the wrong choice and therefore we're going to ban it. And what I said was, you know, well done, feminazis. You know, you're putting fellow women out of work, right? And that was basically it. The article that was written was not referred to at all in the aftermath, in the Twitter storm. It was basically my use of this word, feminazis. I had people saying, you're equating feminism with people who killed 6 million people in World War, 6 million Jews in World War II. I was like, what are you talking about? You know, they're just completely missing the point. And then I climbed down on it because I was under pressure from Fine Gael's press office at the time. I was only just in as a councillor a few months. And it was the biggest regret, I think, of my 5 years that I backed down. I should have taken it on and used that opportunity to have this kind of conversation. And I didn't. And I really regret it. But it was...
Now you're just known for being the guy who loves boobs and prostitutes.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it comes back to the same thing because it's all kind of sex work. It's like whether it's pastry girls, strip clubs, you know, sex work, you know, pornography, whatever it is. All of those women, that choice that they make is not respected or reflected by feminists. They just don't respect those choices of those women. They're not pro their choice. And so
what you're saying is if you're going to be pro-choice, like you eat your own dog food.
You've got to respect other women's choices, even if you disagree with them. So I'm saying as individuals, those people have the right to do whatever they want with their own body.
Yeah, but you're assuming a level of choice. Like, we're not going back over the thing, but like...
Well, that's what they were saying. You're about to say you're assuming that they've got an equal level of choice. Well, that's precisely the argument that was made by those who wanted to ban Page Three, that these women should be saved from themselves. This is the saving fallen women narrative, which has gone through puritanical kind of thought in Western art, in Western culture for decades. It used to be owned by the social conservatives, and now it's being taken up by radical feminists. You know, imposing their morality. This is why we had this unholy coalition of the Sisters of Mercy in the guise of Ruhama, and radical feminist groups, including, you know, National Women's Council and all this kind of stuff, working together for the Turn Off the Red Light campaign. I mean, foes on every other issue suddenly became, you know... allies on this particular issue, which was just so how bizarre it was. If you go so far left, you end up on the right. But for me, it was all the same narrative. The people who wanted to ban Page Three are precisely the same people who want to ban pornography, who want to ban... sex work, who want to ban strip clubs.
They want to ban things.
They're just modern day moralizers. That's all they are. And, you know, so really, and I think that this is what's the problem with third wave feminism is that they've moved away from what most people would support, second wave, treat everybody equally, equality of opportunity, rather than this third wave mandating outcomes, banning things. And that's why I did call them feminazis, and they are feminazis. As distinct from feminists.
So what issue do you think women don't get a fair shout on?
I think that a fair shout on... So
the gender pay gap. Talk to me about the gender pay gap.
Well, this is not the gender pay gap. This is the working gap, okay? So what happens is that, you know, people will say, well, women earn, you know, 17% less than men, okay? But they don't if they're in the job. What they're talking about are women in general and men in general, and then there's a gap. The gap is because women in general will be homemakers, will be primary caregivers for children, and therefore drop out of paid employment. So yes, there's a gap. When you don't work for pay, you don't get paid.
Yeah, no, I think that the algorithm that they use...
People are misleading.
Okay, the algorithm that they use is that there has been in the past, and I think it's gone now, but there has been in the past, and I've told you about my personal experience of working for, you know, smaller firms and being more senior than a man who had two kids, but him being paid more than me on the basis that he was sort of the breadwinner and I was just a 20-something single gal.
That's an archaic
And who cares? Absolutely. And, you know, I don't need the money because I don't have a family to support, so ipso facto, I get paid less than him. Like, that has existed in the past. Mm. Like, that is, you know, who cares what my life is or what I want to spend my money on? If I'm more senior and I'm there longer, I should be paid more. So I think that there is that. Hmm. And
then the gender pay gap in companies is a different thing. It's where, okay, they're obviously all working, but the gender pay gap there, I mean, if you take, for example, you know, an organization where, an engineering company, okay, where more men are engineers and therefore more men are senior engineers and more men are, you know, in the higher echelons of the directorship because they're engineers. And the women who work in the company, if they're not engineers, they might be secretaries, they might be clerical assistants, that's not a gender gap. That's a role gap. That's a gap between people who are senior directors, senior engineers, and people who are secretaries and clerks. So, you know, again, you have to be really careful when you talk about, like, we're now introducing legislation, we've introduced legislation, that we want to mandate that large companies, I think it's over 50 employees, have to talk about what their gender pay gap is. Yeah, okay, fine. If you want to talk about it, to illuminate issues like you're talking about, where you have two people in the same role, one of whom is getting paid more because he's a man than a woman, absolutely, that's fine. I mean, there's a law against paying people in the same role differently. There's a law against that, and absolutely, that should be there. But what I'm talking about here is a situation where you have different roles, different jobs in one big company, and where men and women do those jobs differently, that they're getting paid differently. Yes, they are. That's a role gap.
I don't know. I mean, I think that like definitely from my friends and stuff, that like a lot of women, you know, they opt to do things like take a 4-day week once they've had kids and stuff like that. And I don't think that the algorithms that they talk about for gender pay gaps take that into account. Mm. I also think there's a lot of women and friends of mine who you know, about who've been like, the dream would be to not work. You know, like they don't want to
choice.
And that's their choice. They can't do it because, you know, they have mortgages to pay or whatever, but obviously they would opt to not work if they could and raise their kids and then go back into the workforce later and blah, 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 blah. But I think the algorithm that they use is flawed. I don't think that women are put upon as much. And, you know, it keeps a lot of people, to be frank, it keeps a lot of people in jobs and it keeps a lot of people in relevant, like the National Women's Council of Ireland, to go around talking as if there's some, you know, like Saudi Arabia-esque regime that's keeping women down. And, you know, I don't see a lot of people travelling to other countries where women are being stoned to death for getting raped. I see a lot of victiming of women here and acting as if there's like huge, huge, huge problems. Like, is there issues that could be better for women? Of course there is, there always will be. There's a lot of issues that could be better for men too.
Yeah.
Like more men, you know, commit suicide.
More men go to prison,
prison, more men commit crimes. Like, you know, all these things. So let's, you know, like men have their own crosses to bear. But I think that, like I said, it keeps a lot of people in jobs and it keeps a lot of people
when
relevant.
When I see people dressed up as like the Handmaid's Tale going up to the doll.
Oh,
you're
for
like,
God's
what?
Sake. What? For God's sake. Like, I think like the National Women's Council of Ireland, you know, keeps their funding hot and their relevance high, and they can go on TV and they can talk about the terrible, terrible, awful that it is to be a woman. But like I said, like, I love being a woman. I think it's great. I like never thought that any, like, you know, like that I have problems in jobs. Like, yeah, sure. So did my brother. Have I ever been in a situation where I applied for a job where the person interviewing me was thinking, she's in her late 20s, she's probably going to have kids, I can't afford the maternity leave, I'm not going to hire her? Maybe, I don't know. But have I also been in a job interview where the guy who was interviewing me was like, you know, she's got big boobs, I might hire her? Yeah, maybe. So like, do you know what I mean? It all, I don't care that much, to be honest, about like whatever. I just didn't know I was supposed to be a victim. I feel like just getting on with it. And I think that like this narrative that, you know, everything is terrible and, you know, whatever, is not true.
But in a situation where, okay, you were in politics and gender quotas came in, and as you know, there are a lot of
great.
Would you not, I mean, you would have benefited from that, but so surely you should have been supporting that.
But like, I mean, yeah, like
politics is a bit of an edge,
yes,
isn't it?
I would have benefited from it. But like, you know, like, here's some free money, Keith.
Yeah, do you know what I mean?
Of course I would benefit him, but in principle, no, I don't agree with it. I think it's nonsense. I think it encourages a victim mentality. I think, you know, like, you would never raise your kids, for example, and tell them all the time that, you know, they're victims, that, you know, you're only getting this because you're a victim and you wouldn't be able to get it on your own. So we're going to let you win the race because we don't think you'd ever be able to win the race on your own. So we're going to let you start 5 minutes before all the other kids because you're a victim. No, like, so, yeah, sure, I benefited, fine. Like, not really, to be honest, but like a little bit. But no, I don't think that it helps women. I think it reinforces, you know, a kind of a mentality that you need help. And like I said before, like, I'll take my chances against anybody else, win some, lose some, whatever.
I remember having this conversation with you before, and we were looking at some tickets, some electoral tickets where women had been added to the ticket and stuff like that. And well, you had it, I agreed with you, but what was your opinion on some of the women who were added to the tickets? It was
plumpers, basically. Plumpers. Nothing. So they put them, Like I noticed in the last local elections that they threw a load of women on at the last minute, just because the media were writing stories about how their gender balance wasn't good. And then they throw a bunch of women on who have no hopers, who get 260 odd votes, and like they're a waste of everybody's time. And yeah. What does that do? It increases the loss rate of women. It means that women who run in politics are less like, so when somebody sits down and they say, well, statistically, men are more likely to get elected than women. That's because you're skewing the numbers by trying on loads of no-hopers.
It's the quality of the candidates.
This is the problem. Like it, and it's the same with the National Women's Council. Like all this nonsense. Like it doesn't matter what it is. It only matters what it looks like. Hmm. So it looks great, lads. Pat yourselves on the back. Loads of women ran, but like being 150 also rans doesn't mean that you're doing anything for women. Like, do you know what I mean? Like politics is a horrible life. Like it's, you know, it's very intense. It's not family friendly. You know, it's.
I don't think you can make it family friendly.
It's
either.
Baby. It's going out every evening to, you know, residence association meetings, whatever. And some people love it, and that's great, or whatever. But like some women just don't want to do that because they have other priorities, and that's fine.
Mm.
You know, like I just think, like if women have their own problems, men have their own problems. Like I just think that it does people no favors for them to be told constantly, for a narrative to be going on and on and on in the papers everywhere how terrible it is and how awful it is to be a woman. Because I don't think it is. I like being a woman. Like I always did. You know, like no offense, but like I think we're superior.
You see,
like no, but I mean, like you know, I learned from a young age how to make men do whatever I want, and it's been great. No complaints here. And you know, is there things that can be improved? Sure, there's things that can be improved for men too. But I think whining and forcing your will and stuffing people into jobs because there's a quota now, you know, like bring on the female minors then.
Well, okay. Well, listen, folks, that's our take on feminism, and especially the modern day, as they call it, third wave feminism. So to all you feminazis out there, I hope you enjoyed it. And if you have any comments or questions or any, if you have any topics you'd like us to discuss actually for future podcasts, you can catch us
on... Tweet a video of yourself burning your bra.
You can... topless. You can catch us on Unsafe Space, hashtag Unsafe Space, or you can get Sarah or I on Twitter and just let us know what you're thinking. This was episode 10 of the Unsafe Space. We'll see you next week.